Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Kasell.
And I'm Peter Sagal. This was supposed to be the most important election in decades, the one where we'd finally decide whether we steer this country towards certain ruin or ultimate disaster. Instead, it's going to be about which side calls each other the worst names. We'll review the bidding, plus comic Mike Birbiglia talks about his new movie, and Bill Curtis talks about what it's like to fill in for Carl Kasell and stand next to me.
I'm just going to say what every other girl is thinking. He is sexy.
We'll ask who's really got everyone hot and bothered on our quiz coming up right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange appeared in public today for the first time in 2 months. He urged the United States to stop what he called its witch hunt of his website. WikiLeaks published top-secret documents belonging to the U.S. government to the outrage of U.S. leaders.
There must be no more foolish talk about prosecuting any media organization, be it WikiLeaks or be it the New York Times.
The Times was one of the first media organizations to publish the first secret documents to be disclosed. Assange has been given political asylum by Ecuador and is in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. British authorities want to send him to Sweden for questioning in 2 sexual assault cases. Assange says if he is sent to Sweden, he will end up in the United States and on trial for publishing the documents. The senior NATO commander in Afghanistan is ordering service members to carry loaded weapons at all times, this in response to increasing attacks on Western troops by Afghan forces. From Kabul, NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson reports such attacks account for more than 1 in 10 deaths of NATO-led troops this year.
A NATO official says that General John Allen in recent days ordered all American and other coalition troops to carry loaded weapons even when on base. Also, one or more armed soldiers now monitor Afghans during any joint mission or meeting. In the past 2 weeks, there have been at least 7 so-called insider attacks in which Afghans in uniform turn their weapons on their Western comrades. On Saturday, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta urged Afghan President Hamid Karzai to work more closely with U.S. commanders to address such incidents. In Eastern Afghanistan on Sunday, NATO officials say 3 coalition troops were killed by a bomb. No further details were released, but most of those who serve in the eastern part of the country are American. Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News, Kabul.
Some Russian activists are suing Madonna for supporting homosexuals. Jessica Gallagher reports from Moscow, the queen of pop faces a $10 million lawsuit.
The group that filed the suit says Madonna insulted them and their feelings when she performed in St. Petersburg earlier this month. The pop star spoke out against a city law adopted earlier this year that imposes fines for spreading homosexual propaganda. Madonna called the law a ridiculous atrocity. One man who is part of the suit says that because of Madonna's comments, perhaps a boy or a girl could come out and say they're gay. Critics of the law say it permits St. Petersburg authorities to clamp down on gay rights. Madonna also showed support for recently convicted members of the all-female punk rock band who spoke out against President Vladimir Putin on the altar of Russia's most prominent Orthodox church. They were sentenced to 2 years in prison. For NPR News, I'm Jessica Gallagher in Moscow.
Wildfires burning in Idaho and Utah are prompting evacuations. In central Idaho, residents of 2 towns are fleeing heavy smoke. You're listening to NPR. The drought is driving up the price of crops used for livestock feed, and that's made it harder for California dairy farmers to make ends meet. Bob Hensley of Capital Public Radio reports officials say more dairies are in financial trouble.
Even before feed costs began to escalate, many California dairy farmers weren't making a profit. The price they receive for milk isn't nearly enough to cover the overhead of producing it. Michael Marsh, a Modesto-based Western United dairyman, says with feed up about 40%, many farmers are on the verge of going out of business.
It's just startling, the stories that you're hearing of the families that are looking for bankruptcy protection or banks that are foreclosing on them.
Stagnant milk prices are also a problem. The dairy organization has petitioned the California Department of Food and Agriculture to increase the amount of money farmers receive for milk. For NPR News, I'm Bob Hensley in Modesto, California.
Dallas County, Texas hopes to resume aerial mosquito spraying to fight the West Nile virus. At least 10 people are dead from the mosquito-borne virus and many people are ill. Aerial spraying efforts stopped Friday night because of heavy storms. A platinum mine in South Africa is ordering striking miners to return to work tomorrow or they'll be fired. The Lonmin mine is where police shot 34 miners to death last week in a single incident. There had been previous violence at the mine and several people were killed, including two police officers. The police say they fired last week in self-defense. Recordings suggest miners were running away from tear gas when police began to shoot. The South African government is promising to investigate. Reuters estimates about 3,000 drill operators are on strike at the plant. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Lemelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Kasell, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
We have got a great show for you today. Comedian Mike Birbiglia will be here to talk about his new movie, Sleepwalk With Me. But first, we are way excited that while Carl is off on his late summer vacation to have, well, would it be legendary or iconic, newsman, anchorman Bill Curtis filling in. Bill, you've been a news anchor. You've hosted countless documentaries. You narrated the movie Anchorman. Some say you were a model for the character. Are you Bill Curtis prepared to be our judge and scorekeeper?
The question is, Peter, are you prepared to be judged and score kept by me?
You're ready to work with a legend. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Norma, and I'm from Milwaukee.
How are things in beautiful Milwaukee? You're from Milwaukee, and you're not far from here. What do you do there in Milwaukee?
I'm a teacher.
Oh, that's excellent. What do you teach?
This year I'm teaching Advanced Placement Language and Composition and American Authors.
American Authors. So are the kids today reading? Do they come in ready to learn?
Most of them.
Uh-huh.
To be honest.
But not Ricky.
No.
That guy is a jerk.
No, Ricky's a total jerk.
Hope Ricky's not listening.
No, he wouldn't listen to NPR.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's the man behind the podcast, Too Beautiful to Live, recently celebrating its 1,000th episode. Mr. Luke Burbank is here.
Hey, Norma.
Hey, Luke.
Next, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and the co-producer of a newly released baby boy, Ms. Faith Saley.
Hi, Norma.
Hi, Faith.
And finally, a comedian performing at the Warner Theater in Tarlington, Connecticut on August 25th. It's Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Norma.
Thanks, Paula. You're my hero.
All right, ready to play?
You bet.
All right. Now, we're going to start with a game that this week we're calling Who's Bill This Time? Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win the prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
Okay.
Here we go. Bill, your first quote, please.
I'm just going to say what every other girl is thinking. He is sexy.
That was a woman named Caroline Sanders, who was tweeting her excitement over the latest addition to the presidential race. Who is this sexy thing?
Oh, she must think about Paul Ryan.
She must think about Paul Ryan, yes. And she's very happy because that's the answer. So Mitt Romney decided for his running mate he needed somebody who was everything he himself was not. Principled, unwavering, willing to offend, a man who both sticks to his guns and actually has guns. And of course, in addition to that, Paul Ryan is just as good looking as Romney. He's even in better physical shape. So it's like Romney didn't hire a running mate. He hired a stunt double. Now think about it. It's like Romney says, now I'd like to talk to you about my unwavering stand on the budget. And then somebody yells, cut. And Romney steps aside and Ryan comes leaping through the window on fire, shooting data.
He's got 8% body fat, that man.
How do you know?
I am a journalist, Peter, and
yes.
I do my research. Apparently, he is devoted to this workout called, what is it, P90X?
P90X, yes.
And he's got 6 to 8% body fat, I guess, depending on where he is and during the time of the month. And this workout, do you know this workout, Luke?
I do, and in fact...
Do you do it?
I've attempted it a couple of times.
It causes muscle confusion. Which
really?
I think could be used in a negative ad, right?
Yes.
Couldn't you see, like, you know, do you want the man who's one heartbeat away from the presidency to be confused in his muscles?
Come on, Paul Ryan. I'm clearly not a political junkie in that the way I found out about Paul Ryan existing was I was watching the P90X promotional DVD, and Paul Ryan is on it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because he and some other members of Congress would get together in a certain part of the congressional gym, and they would put the DVD in, and they would do this crazy P90X workout. And one of the guys, Bart Stupak, who does it with him, is a Democrat, so that's a certain amount of reaching across the aisle.
That's so much better than when they used to do Sweating to the Oldies. I just think this is a lot more, you know.
Did you guys know that one of the most popular Google searches the last week or so is Paul Ryan shirtless?
Mm-hmm. I did it.
You did, and what a surprise.
That's why she knew the percentage of his body fat. She put her calipers right up to the screen.
As far as I know, there are no photographs.
Yeah.
Correct. I was disappointed.
And still in 1,000,000th place, Joe Biden shirtless.
It must be, this all must be so frustrating for Romney. These days, when asked what they like most about their candidate for president, most Republicans say that they like that Romney is thin enough so that he does not block their view of Paul Ryan. All right, here's your next quote.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
That was somebody who started a downward spiral of tone in the presidential campaign this week. Who was it?
Oh, it was Joe Biden.
It was. Once Paul Ryan became Romney's running mate, everybody was like, great, we're going to have a substantive discussion of the issues. And then along came Biden. On Tuesday, he was talking about the Republicans' plans to, quote, unchain Wall Street, and suggested that instead they want to put the audience in chains. Biden's comment was called racist and hateful and awful, but come on, it's Joe Biden. He has no idea what he himself just said until the sound waves reach his ears. And you can tell, because sometimes he says, who the hell was that guy who said that dumb thing?
Is he doing the P30 workout? Because that could have been muscle confusion.
Yeah. Anyway, the Romney campaign said that the unchained comment was part of the president's campaign of, quote, anger and hate. And the Obama campaign responded that Romney was, quote, unhinged. And Romney said, this happened. He said, no, they're unhinged. Of course, Mr. Romney misunderstood. The Obama campaign was not being harsh. They were just pointing out that Mr. Romney's battery compartment door had come off its hinges. All right, very good. Here is your last quote.
Good girls go to heaven. Bad girls go everywhere.
That was an icon of liberated womanhood. She died this week at the age of 90. Who was it?
Oh, that was Helen Gurley Brown.
It was indeed Helen Gurley Brown. The woman who wrote the groundbreaking book Sex and the Single Girl has died at the age of 90. She also became famous, of course, as the editor of Cosmopolitan, which she transformed into a glossy celebration of beauty and sex and fashion. It was famous for the cover lines, you know, the famous Cosmo cover lines like 18 sexy things you can do in bed, which is always pointless because nobody got to try out things 2 through 18 because after number 1 the guy fell asleep, right?
You know, I would defy anyone to prove these things with math.
That there were, in fact, 18 sexy things?
Just, okay, but they're either telling the same 18 sexy things every issue. Because the thing is, they kept doing every, you know, I mean, I don't buy it, but I would see it when I was at the grocery store, and I would just think, you know, that's a lot of things.
Why are they always advising women on ways to drive their man crazy in bed? Why does somebody want to be driven crazy? It's like, well, I was trying that sex tip from Cosmo, and then my man just started talking to the ceiling fan. I don't understand.
Yeah.
A guy with no shirt is just swinging a lightsaber on the New Jersey Turnpike. What happened?
Well,
it started in the bedroom.
Bill, how did Norma do in our quiz?
Norma got 3 right and wins Carl Kessel's voice at her home answering machine.
Well done. Thank you, Norma.
Thank you.
Right now, panel time for you to answer some questions about the week's news. Faith, according to a shocking new study, there's something just as bad for you as smoking cigarettes. What?
Egg yolks, Peter.
Indeed, Faith. Eggs, egg yolks. Some of you may remember a few years ago when a study showed that eggs weren't that bad for you, the egg producers put out an ad showing an egg being let out of prison. Well, like some former prisoners who were released, it went on to kill again. A newer study shows that eating egg yolks is almost as bad for you as smoking in terms of its effect on your health.
And I have been smoking egg yolks, so I'm just doomed.
Man, that's the worst.
Forget it. I may not live through the taping.
Who did the study? This bothers me so much.
This is actually a legitimate medical study.
Who says?
The science people.
The science people. The scientists. They studied thousands of people who had been eating a certain amount of eggs, and they discovered that the plaque in their arteries was 2/3 as bad as people who've been smoking.
Okay. Did they just have them in a room eating eggs?
That's all they were doing, just eating eggs.
Because it could be, you know, loneliness and boredom isn't good for you either. It just concerns me because, you know, I read that red meat significantly reduces your lifespan. And so I, you know, gave up red meat. And now to hear this yolk thing, you know.
Are you a big egg eater?
Well, yeah, now that I'm not eating red meat. We can't eat egg yolks. We can't eat red meat. We can't smoke. My heavens. I'm just hungry.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at progressive.com. Angie's List, providing reviews on local AC repair, landscapers, doctors, and others based on member experiences at angieslist.com. And the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Kasell. We're playing this week with Luke Burbank, Paula Poundstone, and Faith Saley. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. Bring it on, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Brian Cooper from Barrington, Rhode Island.
Hey, how are things in beautiful Barrington?
Oh, it's been a beautiful day, just sunny and 80 degrees and picture perfect.
That's why everybody in Rhode Island is always so cheerful.
Okay.
Well, welcome to the show, Brian. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Brian's topic?
If you'd like a human you can curse at, press 6.
It takes more than a great product and soul-crushing hold music to run a successful business. You got to go the extra mile to make your customers happy. Our panelists are going to read you 3 stories of lagging businesses sprucing up their image and improving their customer service. Guess the real story, you'll win Carl Kasell's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, here we go. First, let's hear from Luke Burbank.
Few things are more annoying than standing in the airport shoeless as a TSA person waves a wand over your crotchal regions. Well, the TSA is doing its best to rehab its image with the program it's calling Trash to Treasures, which sends those oversized colognes, hair gels, and butterfly knives to deserving people in impoverished countries. Through the pilot program being tested at Phoenix's Sky Harbor Airport, travelers who sign up for emails can see their donated personal items and where they've ended up. A father in Mali who can spruce up his footwear because you tried to bring 4 ounces of shoe polish on your trip to Denver. A young woman in Borneo who will finally get her first taste of a Rockstar energy drink because you stupidly bought it on the wrong side of the security checkpoint. I'll be honest, said traveler Rich Gazarian, I was pretty ticked off when they took away my novelty switchblade comb, but then they emailed me that photo of an entire Uzbek family using it to prepare their hair for a traditional wedding ceremony, and it really changed my mind. The TSA says the items have been gratefully accepted, everything that is, except for that Tom's of Maine natural toothpaste. No one wants that, anywhere, ever.
The TSA sending seized goods to impoverished countries to improve their image. Your next story of a business trying to impress its clientele comes from Faith Saley.
It's hard out there for a pirate. What with all the swashbuckling and stunt-casted marauding on the big screen, the little guys, the real hard-working Somali pirates, struggle to be taken seriously. Because hijackings are down 32% this year, Somali freebooters have revamped their brand and are now sending polite form letters to their victims. By portraying themselves as solicitous, they hope for an efficient ransom exchange with little argument. It's as if their PR firm advised them it's time to put the buck back in Buccaneer. The pirates identify themselves with the catchy acronym JPAG, standing for Jamal's Pirate Action Group, an acronym clearly focus grouped for the right combination of terror and reliability. The letter starts out with the old chestnut to whom it may concern, demonstrating a nice handle on the objective case, but Jamal's pirates go downhill from there. Congratulations to company/owner, it reads cheerfully, followed by, quote, in order to fulfill my suggestion, you have to accept every step I want you to do it because of we have entitled to do everything if you do not obey. The pirates do recognize one tenet of good branding. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Every letter is stamped with a skull and crossed swords. Jamal likes to please his audience.
Somali pirates sending polite congratulatory form letters to the owners of the ships they hijack. And lastly, a story of a bold attempt to improve customer service from Paula Poundstone.
When a married client leaves Luann's Love Loft just outside Reno, Nevada, they received a gift bag chock full of goodies for the wife and kids at home. Our goal is to really spread love, says the brothel's owner, Becky Thatcher. People didn't really understand that before, but since we've offered the gift bags, it's not so much slam bam thank you ma'am anymore. It's more like slam bam thank you ma'am no thank you sir and your family. I've been coming to Luann's for years, says client John Smith. the guilt used to be very difficult to deal with. Now, with these high-quality drawstring reusable Luann's Love Loft gift bags, I feel great about coming. Last week, not only did I feel satisfied as a man, but I was also able to give my wife a Zen garden, and my daughter absolutely loved the plush toy. If my son realized that for 3 visits or more, I could get him a game box, he'd insist I go for a week.
All right. Somebody out there with a poor reputation is trying to improve it by doing one of these things. Is it from Luke Burbank, the story of the TSA trying to show they're not doing such bad things because they're showing pictures of all the seized goods being sent to needy people? From Faith Saley, Somali pirates sending out nice form letters on letterhead, congratulating people on getting their ships hijacked? Or from Paula Poundstone, a brothel in Nevada giving gift bags for the married guys to bring back to their wife and kids? Which of this is a real story of an improvement in customer service?
I'm afraid I'm going to have to go with Paula. Story.
You're going to pick Paula's story, which is about the brothel in Nevada, which is giving out gift bags. A madam named Becky Thatcher is giving out gift bags.
That's why I was surprised it was John Smith and not Tom Sawyer.
I understand. All right. You've picked Paula's story. Well, we spoke to someone familiar with the real story.
My favorite part is that it's signed with the logo of the Pirate Action Group, which is a skull with 2 crossed swords under it over sort of a little boat.
That was Adam Martin. He's a reporter for the Atlantic's Wire blog talking about the memo from the pirates. As you now know, it was in fact Faith who was telling the truth and Paula who, well, came up with a wonderful idea, and I hope somebody from the brothels in Nevada was listening.
It could have been true.
It wasn't surprising.
It just so happened to not be, but I do thank you for the point.
Yes, thank you for the point for Paula, which she gets for fooling you, and thank you so much for playing.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been fun to have you.
Go, 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 a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho.
And now the game where we invite somebody on who's done something cool, just to remind them why they should stick to doing cool things. Mike Birbiglia is a stand-up comedian who gained fame by doing his monologues on This American Life. Now, along with Ira Glass, he's made one of his stories into a new movie, written by, directed by, and starring Mike Birbiglia. Mike, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Great to have you.
Thank you.
So, congratulations on the movie, which I've seen, which is terrific. And it started, it's called Sleepwalk With Me, and it started as a monologue that you did initially for This American Life, or was it before that?
Yeah, and by the way, don't mention to Ira Glass that I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think he would be upset. He's very territorial. But it was a one-man show that I had written called Sleepwalk With Me, and then he had heard a segment of it that I had done on The Moth. Storytelling series in New York City, and then he played it on the air, and then since then we've done a bunch of stories together, and then we decided to make this movie.
So the movie is about it's about a stand-up comedian named
Matt Pandemiglio.
Matt Pandemiglio, who looks a lot like you because you play him, and it's about something that happened to you.
That's right.
Right. But it's not... Why aren't you just you in the movie?
What are you getting at here?
Briefly put, it's about a guy starting a stand-up career, and he's sort of struggling with what kind of comic he wants to be. And he also has this particular problem, which is that he sleepwalks, and bad things happen.
Sometimes in dangerous situations.
But how true is it, then? I mean, the stories of your sleepwalking adventures are true. You really did sleepwalk and run straight through a second-floor window.
I jumped out a second-story window in my sleep, and a lot of other funny stuff.
But none of the car chases with Bruce Willis happened.
Right.
I was wondering about this.
Because you in the movie, this character, Matt Pandemiglio.
Pandemiglio
has parents who are nice people but aren't perfect people.
Sure.
And are kind of neurotic and argumentative and annoying. And so are you going to show this movie to your parents?
You know, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
I am eventually going to show... I'm going to accompany them to the
movie, and I'm going to tell them that I love them. And then we're going to watch it together, and then I'm going to drive us somewhere, and then we're going to eat dinner and talk about what happened.
Yeah. And how do you think that's going to go that evening?
I don't know, Peter. I just don't know, and I don't know if this is the format that we should be hashing this out in.
Right.
Since my parents, I think, listen to this show.
Right. Well, do you want to role play it? Because I can be your dad. It was like, Mike,
sure.
Why did you make me look like such a jerk?
Well, Ben, it's not you. It's Frank Pandemiglio.
Right.
All right, I'm your mother. We tried and tried with you.
Mom, why are you crying? Don't cry, and then I'll hug her. It'll be fine, Paula.
I think this is all going to work out really well.
Let's go back to the sleepwalking stuff. Is kind of amazing. What is the craziest thing that happened to you while sleepwalking?
Well, I would often wake up in, you know, the outdoors. In hotels, and I'd have to walk to the front desk and explain what happened. And then, even during the filming of the movie, this is completely absurd, because when you're making a movie, you're sleep deprived and you're stressed out by virtue of what the job is, which aggravates sleepwalking and sleep disorders. And so I would sleepwalk during the making of the film, and I would have dreams that I was directing myself. So my wife would come in and I would be adjusting lamps. I'm not making this up. I'd be adjusting lamps in our bedroom. And she would say, "What are you doing?" And I said, "We're shooting." And she said, "No, Mike, we're not shooting." And I said, "I'm sorry, but we are." And I would actually be condescending about it. Like, you just don't understand what's going on here. We're making a movie, you know. But meanwhile, it was just, you know, my lamp.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
What do you wear when you go to sleep, since you know you might end up out of your bed? I mean,
I go to bed at night, I wear a sleeping bag. And I, for a long time, I wore mittens so that I couldn't open the sleeping bag. I'm like a cocooned worm in my bed, and you know, and I don't wear the mittens anymore, but I still do wear the sleeping bag. It was a medical doctor told me to do that.
Well, Mike Birbiglia, we're delighted to talk to you, and we have invited you here to play a game that this time we're calling
Bon Appetit.
Okay.
Paula Deen was not the first TV chef to try to murder us with butter. Wednesday would have been the 100th birthday of Julia Child. We're going to ask you three questions about the French chef in her honor. Get two right, you will win Carl Castle's voice on the voicemail for one of our listeners. Bill, who is Mike Birbiglia playing for?
Marion Denard of Jacksonville, Oregon.
All right. Ready to play, Mike?
Yeah, I'll try.
All right, here we go. We all know Julia Child's famous traditional recipes, but she made some more unusual ones in her long career, including which of these? A, coq au vin en nachos, B, primordial soup, or C, bœuf bourguignon, a dish inspired by her close friend, Ernest Borgnine.
Oh, jeez. Well, I think the goal of this, as I understand it, is to make me look like an idiot.
No, far from it. We've already done that part of the show. This is where we redeem you.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
Well, this is really not my field of expertise, but I'm gonna say the nachos.
The coq au vin nachos?
Yeah.
I like that thinking, but no, it was primordial soup.
Oh.
In a video that you can see at the Smithsonian Institution, Julia Child is shown making a broth of amino acids meant to recreate the primordial soup.
Peter, you didn't take French, did you?
How do you know?
Were you Spanish?
No, I was pretty much a fake Yiddish accent from jokes.
Today, I accidentally hit the Japanese language function on the ATM, and I just powered through because I was like, don't judge me, ATM. I might know Japanese.
How much money did you get out?
5 million yen.
Next question. Many fans have tried to express their love for Julia Child. Which of these tributes is real? A, a farmer in Massachusetts made a massive Julia Child corn maze, be a scientist that named a bacteria found in chicken dropped on the floor Salmonella Julia Childia, or C, a staged burlesque adaptation of her PBS show. It was called French the Chef.
Wow. I am super game for participating in any of those ideas, so call me. But I'm going to go with the maze one.
You're going to go with the corn maze?
Yeah.
You're right, in fact. Corn maze. If you look at it from above, corn maze looks like Julia Child.
Wow.
What would you expect? Here's your last question, Mike. Back in 2002, blogger Julie Powell spent a year making all of the recipes in Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking. That became a book, which became the movie Julie and Julia. But that was not the only stunt that Julia Child inspired. Which of these is real? A, George Foreman, in a marketing ploy, tried to make all 524 recipes in the book using only a George Foreman grill. B, David Blaine successfully stuffed his entire body inside a chicken deboned using Julia Child's methods. Or C, a man started the blog where he watched Julie and Julia every day for a year.
I'm in support of David Blaine doing anything.
Yes, pretty
really.
Much.
I don't think that one happened. I'm going
to
go with the blog, because it feels like it could have been something that someone would do, because that's what the character in the film does.
So you're going to go with the guy who blogged about watching the movie Julie and Julia every day for a year.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
You are right. Very good.
Wow.
He did it, too. 365 days. 365 straight viewings of the movie Julie and Julia.
Wow.
If you add it up, that's an entire month of watching Julie and Julia. Bill, how did Mike Birbiglia do in our quiz?
Well, Mike got two right, and that means Marion Denard wins Carl Kessel's voice in her home answering machine.
Well done. Congratulations, Mike.
This is such an honor.
Yeah. Mike Birbiglia's new movie, written, directed by, and starring him, is called Sleepwalk With Me. It opens nationwide August 31st. Go see it. It's charming and funny as hell. Mike Birbiglia, thank you so much for joining us. Well done. In just a minute, legendary anchorman Bill Curtis stoops to a new low and reads some silly poems in our listener limerick challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, an Allstate company offering tools to help guide customers through the car insurance process from quote to claim. Learn more at eSurance.com. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at GatesFoundation.org, and the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness, on the web at MelvilleTrust.org. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Kessel. We're playing this week with Faith Seeley, Paula Poundstone, and Luke Burbank. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In in just a minute. Legendary anchorman Bill Curtis. That's a trademark. Legendary anchorman Bill Curtis stoops to a new low and reads some silly poems in the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Paula, many of us spent the last 2 weeks glued to our TV sets watching the Olympics, and it shows because, according to experts in Britain, the average viewer did what over the course of the 2 weeks?
Gained weight.
Yes, exactly right. While Olympic athletes were wowing us with their prowess in what the Brits called the Olympic fortnight, we were sitting on the couch winning gold medals in the Taco Bell Crunchwrap fortnight. Overall, the average viewer, according to the study, gained 4.2 pounds over the course of the Olympics.
Wow.
Whereas the average viewer in London, where the games took place, gained 5.2 pounds because being closer to people exerting themselves makes you hungrier by osmosis. Maybe the marathon runners tossed them donuts as they ran by. We don't know. You know what this is? This is what happens when you use the Olympics as a chance to play eating games. Every time Michael Phelps wins a medal, you eat. Every time Bella Caroli's mustache appears on screen, you eat. But what killed us all was the rule, whenever NBC shows beach volleyball, you have to unhinge your jaw.
It was some of the interviewers.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that Michael Phelps did poorly in that first race so that he would not have to talk to that blonde woman by the pool. She's awful. She's terrible. And by the way, they just finished doing their thing. You know,
so racing, you're at, or
right,
leaping,
so
or
whatever. Right, so their hearts are pounding and they're being asked stupid junk. Like, what were you thinking? You know, I was thinking kick. Paddle, 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 paddle.
You know, you have a limited understanding of the hurdles.
Luke, not that anyone should be worried, but scientists in Japan are reporting that the meltdown of the nuclear power plant in Fukushima has had an unexpected side effect. What?
It's not worrisome, though. It's just unexpected.
Yeah, it's a little strange, but they say there's no real danger from them.
Butterflies?
Yes.
I knew it.
What kind of butterflies?
Awesome butterflies. Are they glowing or something?
Yes,
are they
they're
luminescent?
Mutant. They're mutant butterflies, Luke. They're mutant butterflies. Is that thunder? Why is the house shaking? Oh, it's just the enormous mutant butterfly. According to scientists in Japan, butterflies exposed to radiation have been sporting a variety of new mutations. Their offspring are even weirder. But no fear, the butterflies pose no threat to humans. The mutant caterpillars that are the problem. Just, you know, imagine the kid's book, The Very, Very Hungry Mutant Caterpillars. On Monday, he ate through an apple, but he was still hungry. On Tuesday, he ate through a human being. But he was still hungry. Run! Paula, Merriam-Webster added new words to the dictionary this week, including this one, which you can officially drop. What?
The F-bomb.
Yes, the F-bomb. The phrase F-bomb is now part of the dictionary with new words like earworm, man cave, mashup, life coach, sexting, brain cramp, and bucket list. Here's the question. Why are these words in the dictionary? Who hears the word F-bomb and says, what's that mean? Let me consult Merriam-Webster. Oh, I see.
Some people need to know how to spell it.
Now, these words have become common enough to be recognized by Merriam-Webster, but they still may be a bit unfamiliar to some people out there. So we thought we'd have Bill Curtis right here read a few sentences that incorporate the new words to help those people out. So Bill Curtis, take advantage of them.
I had an aha moment when I realized I could do my sexting from my man cave. I'm going to drop an F-bomb on the next person to say, that's on my bucket list. Don't listen to that new Black Sabbath, Rebecca Black mashup. It gave my life coach an earworm that was a real game changer.
Go Curtis, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank. But first is the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Atlanta on September 20th at the Fox Theater. You can also check out the latest How to Do Everything. This week, Mike and Ian explain how to stop your cat from eating your earwax.
Ew.
That is something I never thought I would ever need to know. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Who is this?
Ann Weiner from Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, how are things in beautiful Richmond?
Hot.
Yeah.
It's getting cooler.
That's good to hear. What do you do there?
I actually work in Charlottesville, Virginia, about an hour away. I'm a nurse anesthetist. Certified registered nurse anesthetist.
Are there nurse anesthetists that aren't certified and registered? Because I don't want them.
Not anymore.
Okay.
Not after the incident.
It's cheaper to use them, though.
It is.
And welcome to the show. Bill Curtis right here is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly into the limericks, you will be a big winner. You ready to play?
I am.
All right, Bill, let's hear her first limerick.
At the tournament level, I dabble, but my tiles show a meaningless babble. I filled up my ranks with a few extra blanks and got busted for cheating at...
Scrabble.
Yes, ma'am. Good for you, Ann.
Very good. The Scrabble world was rocked by scandal this week. An up-and-coming star was kicked out of the 2012 National Scrabble Championship after he attempted to smuggle extra blank letter tiles to a game. The young player was banned for 2 years, which was unfortunately bumped to 6 years because he was on a triple punishment score square. This is the first instance of cheating at a major board game championship since a competitor at the Game of Life finals 3 years ago was caught with a bag full of tiny little peg babies. Here is your next limerick.
Since our little game show began, The Price is Right does what it can. Now both genders' charms will wave pretty arms. Our prizes are shown by a...
man.
Yes!
Yes, very good. Yes! Happy for both of you. Apart from Drew Carey, The Price is Right has long been criticized for its lack of male models showing off the merchandise. But this week, the show began casting for its first ever male prize model. He'll wave his arms in front of the prizes and flirt with Mr. Carey. But to make it more authentic, the male prize model will be shown burning burgers in the brand new grill while sucking down his fourth beer, or in the beautiful new bedroom set, failing to pick his underwear up off the floor. All right, you have one more limerick to go. Let's hear it, Bill.
When oogling long legs and eyelashes, I see the road oddly in flashes. It's soft, fleshy curves that cause me to swerve. Yes, leering's the cause of most...
oh.
Crashes.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
My God, is she good?
She did it.
Three in a row. Did you know that?
I noticed that.
Is it weird I want to make love to that limerick?
I thought it was texting. It's checking... people out?
Yeah. According to a recent study of several thousand British drivers, some 2,500 crashes every day are caused by men ogling women on the street. 21% of those drivers admitted to be distracted by not only real-life women in the street, but also the models on billboards. And at least one instance of a man who crashed after eyeing that sexy white flashing light lady at the crosswalk. Bill, how did Ann do on our quiz?
Well, Ann got three right, so she wins Carl Castle's voice. Home answering machine or voicemail.
That's amazing.
Ann, you're great.
Thank you so much for playing, Ann.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now onto our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Bill Curtis, could you give us the scores?
Luke and Faith are tied with 2. Paula, you have 4.
Woo-hoo!
Wow. All right, we flipped a coin. Faith has elected to go first. The clock will start when they begin your first question. Faith, fill in the blank. All across the country on Wednesday, tens of thousands of young blanks applied to legally live and work in the U.S.
Illegal immigrants.
Yes, undocumented immigrants as well. A NATO coalition spokesman said Thursday that they are investigating the crash of a NATO helicopter in blank.
Afghanistan.
Right. On Tuesday, it was announced that the keynote speaker at the Republican National Convention will be blank.
Chris Christie?
Yes, indeed. In a speech this week, a government minister in India told his staff, quote, if you work hard, put your heart and soul into it, then blank.
Pray?
No. He said, if you work hard and put your heart and soul into your government job, then you are allowed to steal some. Actor Ron Palillo, best known for his role as Arnold Horshack in the TV show Blank, died Tuesday at age 63.
Welcome back, Connor.
Yes. On Monday, President Obama made a congratulatory call to the engineers and scientists behind the successful landing of the Blank.
Mars rover.
Yes, indeed. This week, the $100 million security system at JFK Airport in New York was breached by Blank.
A jet skier.
Yes. Specifically, a drunk dude on a jet ski. So Daniel Casillo's jet ski broke down when he was racing and drinking with his buddies out there. So he swam to the closest land. It happened to be runway 4 left at JFK. He got to shore, climbed an 8-foot-high fence, walked past motion detectors and security cameras, crossed 2 runways while wearing a bright yellow life vest, and eventually flagged down a Delta employee for help and was arrested. When asked why no one noticed him before he basically tapped them on the shoulder, guards explained they already had their hands full tackling the lady trying to smuggle in 5 ounces of shampoo onto a flight in Terminal 2. Bill, how did Faith do in our quiz?
Faith got 6 right for a total of 12 more points, and with 14, Faith has taken the lead.
Well done, Faith. All right, Luke, you're up next, fill in the blank. On Thursday, Mitt Romney told reporters that he's paid at least 13% in blank every year for the past 10 years.
Taxes.
Yes. When the ban on early investors and insiders selling their stock expired Thursday, the price of blank shares fell dramatically.
Facebook.
Yes. On Tuesday, the former prime minister of blank, who defected last week, said the government regime is close to collapse.
Syria.
Yes. In an interview with Vogue magazine this week, former first daughter blank hinted she may someday run for office.
Chelsea.
Yes. Clinton. 2 Minnesota men caught breaking into and vandalizing a high school said they were just blanking.
Joking?
No, they said they were, quote, taking a stroll down memory lane. This week, the Department of Agriculture declared more than half of the counties in the U.S. disaster areas because of the blank.
Drought.
Yes. Musicians and fans gathered in Memphis this week to mark the 35th anniversary of the death of blank.
Elvis.
Yes, Presley. Zoo officials in Germany are searching for a kangaroo that escaped thanks to help from blank.
The internet.
No. Can a kangaroo Google? No. The kangaroo escaped with help from a fox and a wild boar.
Jeez.
Does that work? The fox snuck into the zoo, dug a hole beneath a fence inside the zoo. The boar dug a similar hole under another fence, and then they hung a poster of a kangaroo pinup girl to cover it up.
Yeah.
The kangaroo made a break for it through the 2 tunnels and would have escaped if it hadn't been turned in by the mastermind of the plot, a rabbit who thought he was freeing his dream girl. Bill.
There we go.
How did Luke do?
There's a shiny penny in it for you.
Luke got 6 right for a total of 12 more points. And with 14 points, Luke and Faith are tied for the lead.
All right. Here is the only math question of the night. How many does Paula need to win?
How many does Paula need to win?
How many does Paula need to win?
5 to tie and 6 to win outright.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Paula, this is for the game. Fill in the blank.
Don't choke.
On Thursday, Ecuador announced it would be granting asylum to WikiLeaks founder blank.
Assange.
Yes, Julian Assange. On Monday, CNN's Candy Crowley became the first woman named as a moderator for a blank in 20 years.
Presidential debate.
Yes, NBC drew criticism for cutting performances by Ray Davies of the Kinks and Muse during the closing ceremonies of the blank.
Olympics.
Yes. According to a CDC report released this week, Mississippi has the highest blank rate, while Colorado has the lowest.
Mississippi has the highest obesity rate?
Yes, it does. A Massachusetts minor league baseball game was delayed on Monday on account of blank.
A moose on the field.
No, a repo man repossessed all the team's balls and bats. Worcester Tornadoes were in debt to a vendor where they didn't pay. The repo man showed up at a game time. He took balls, bats, equipment, office furniture, anything that wasn't nailed down. The Worcester Tornadoes played anyway and managed, even without any equipment, to beat their opponent, the Boston Red Sox. Bill, did Paula Poundstone do well enough to win?
Paula got 5 right. For 10 more points, she has 14, which means we have a 3-way tie. Congratulations to Paula, Faith, and Luke.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, if Barack Obama does decide to drop Joe Biden, as some are suggesting he do, who would he pick as his new running mate? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors and Advocate for Homeownership, more at houselogic.com/homeownership, the Park Foundation, dedicated to heightening public awareness of critical issues at parkfoundation.org, and the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions' Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Lester Larchick and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac here at Chase Bank. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Special thanks this week to Blythe Haga. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog, the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, if President Obama dumps Joe Biden because of all those gaffes, who will he replace him with and why? Faith Saley.
In an attempt to sweep the youth vote, the lady vote, and the gay vote, Obama will unveil his own Ryan plan. His VP pick will be a shirtless Ryan Gosling.
Hey, babe. From Paula Poundstone.
Steve Fauntleroy, he was vice president of my sixth grade class and never had one gaffe.
And Luke Burbank.
Legendary anchorman Bill Curtis, because seriously, have you heard that frigging voice?
Well, if any of those people replace Joe Biden, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis, for making us sound more important than we are. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Faith Saley, and Luke Burbank. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal, and we'll be back with you next week. This is NPR.
Support for WPLN comes from the Middle Tennessee Collaborative Alliance and its members Patricia McCarter and Caroline Beecham, helping divorcing couples protect their children and make sound financial decisions respectfully with collaborative divorce. Online at mtcollab.com. At Goodwill Industries of Middle Tennessee and its 17 Career Solution Centers located throughout Middle and West Tennessee, and through generous donations of gently used items, career counselors work one-on-one with thousands of Tennesseans to provide job search, computer training, and employment services to clients from all backgrounds who are in need of a job or encouragement and guidance in their search. Career counselors also work with employers and community partners to identify job-ready candidates. Learn more at goodwillcareersolutions.org.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio.
91.5 WTML Tullahoma and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.
It's the